really appreciate Mark and Deb and everything they've done to help us get. I say lunch and friends because a lot of friends in this room have kept us going, and I really appreciate that too. TARC. We've been doing a 30% discount for TARC teams for the last 3 years, and we haven't got the word out too good, but hopefully we'll be able to get the word out better this year. So if you're mentoring the TARC team, let us know. We'll work as well as we can, even with the teams that don't have money to buy stuff. We told everybody coming by our booth this week to fill the name tag out. You show up, you have to be present to win, but the winner gets our three kits that we released. This is the last purchase that is not sold. So, John Harkin. Any questions?
What are the next kits?
We're working on Jim Z's Visitor, Launches Later Rocket, Striker by Craig McGraw, and Omega with Booster Vision, Center Rock combination, and some other surprises.
Good to be back.
Like the hat.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I gotta use these. Yeah, it gets worse every year. We've been really busy this last year. How do you like those G71s? Anybody flying those? Good. I know a lot of you had asked for those for quite a few years, and we're really glad to get those out. And we've enjoyed making them and testing them and so on. We've released them. You know, last year we did a big release of new products at NARAM. I apologize, I don't have a big release here other than maybe to reiterate some things that we did earlier. We brought out most of our new model rocket products at the Nurses Show National Retail Hobby Store Association in Las Vegas. We did the G71 and that was before that. I'm getting out. Can't read my own notes. But we did the F-42 LMS, and after years of effort and with help from our European distributor, we've got Aerotech products CE approved in Europe. That was a big thing for us. Anybody take advantage of the level 1-2-3 promo we did this spring? No one? Wow. Okay. Brought out what I think is still the highest performance G motor or model rocket motor that you can get without an ATF license, the G69 end burner. Has anybody tried that one? Wow, okay.
Has anybody got one here today?
I don't know. Do our dealers have some, the G69?
I got some.
Okay, it's a Warp 9 end burner. Okay, and one thing I can tell you is we've tested some other versions of those, and we're going to bring out some more in the coming months and maybe year. It's about 137 newton seconds out of 62.2 grams of propellant. We also, and this is as a result of consumer requests, we brought out an entire line of what we call hobby delay kits for the 18, 24, and 29 millimeter reloads. A lot of customers have been asking for those, so they're out. They'll be available through the widespread distribution, just like all the other model rocket products. Yeah, Nurses Show, we brought out the F-27 Red Line Econojet. Has anybody tried those? All right, fine. We're re-releasing the F-23 Econojet and the G-33 Reload as U.S. postal mailable reloads. They'll be 60 gram G-33 and so on. We found that the dealers really want products that can be mailed, and so we've been orienting our model rocket releases along those lines. And we also did the F-23 as a loadable motor system. You know, save you a few bucks on that. At LDRS, we've introduced two new long-burn high-power motors, the M650 white lighting and the M750 white lighting. Those are both moon-burning rocket motors. Several of them have been flown already.
How long do they burn?
Well, the M650 burns about 10 seconds, and the M750 burns about, well, if you do it the total time, it's about 15. But, you know, when the NAR certifies a motor, they cut off the burn at 5% thrust, so it's about 13 seconds on the M750. So I think we're going to Aeronaut after this launch, and there might be some records set up there.
So that's a glider motor.
A big glider motor. Well, watch for some of these end-burning Mark 9 motors. I think some of you may find they're interesting for gliders. We also brought out a line of what we call the soda can or pop can eye motors. These are single-grain 54 motors. They'll be in all the different propellants from white lightning all the way through warp 9. And we're for those of you who like the snap ring type reloadables, we're doing a variety of different Cosden influence type rocket motors. The first line we brought out are Cosden Virotech animal compatible motors. And we will have, in the future, we will have Cosden propellant and basically all kinds of different variations with that product line. What's coming? We're bringing out a new propellant called Mojave Green, which we demonstrated at LDRS. And if you've seen the pictures, there's kind of what it looks like. A nice green flame.
The color of the exit sign. What's
that?
The exit sign.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're trying to model it after the exit sign color. It's green is really tough to do, but we hope it's a good green. You really like it. And we're going to plan to try to do it in model rocket and high power sizes. So I know a lot of people are asking, can you do a red line like you do the G70, or a Mojave green like you're doing the G71? And the answer is we'll give it our best shot. Also coming down the line will be a line of 54 millimeter Black Max reloads in all the different sizes. Some of those are already certified, but we haven't made any announcements on that. One of my favorite projects that we've been working on is we're redesigning the G80. Now, after we reintroduced the G80 with the molded case, we had some grousing about the impulse loss and so on. And my comment at the time was, well, we have a choice. We can either have no G80 or we can have a G80 with a few less Newton seconds because we couldn't get the casings to work. The old casing. That's why we went to the molded case. Well, I took it as a personal challenge to try to extract as much impulse out of the G80 as I can with a whole new design. I'm not going to get into real specifics, but I can tell you we've already exceeded 140 Newton seconds out of 62 grams per pound. So when it comes out, it'll be the new G80, and hopefully we're looking at possibly October or November.
Can I get one of those for Thursday?
Yeah. if you haven't gotten one yet, we have a new catalog out for this year, 2007-2008 catalog, all new pictures by Nadine and some of our customers. We've got all the new products that were available at the time of publication are in here. And that was a lot of work to get that out, but we had a big press for LDRS this year. And one last thing, to promote the Mojave Green, we've got some new T-shirts. Bob, would you like to model that? What do you do when you only have a few shirts? Too many people to throw. Thank you all for your being customers and buying our products. Your purchasing our products helps us develop new products, and we appreciate it all from our entire company. Thank you.
Robert.
glad you tell us what to do with it.
Is there a little bit
of a questions for Carol? Carol, take a question.
3:30 p.m.?
To whom?
3:30 p.m.?
3:30?
What? Yeah.
What?
We're supposed to meet.
What?
What?
Did you get that up all along? Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Tonight?
Yeah. Tonight we can talk.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk.
Wait here.
Well, I guess I'm going to try to break my own record and not say one thing concrete about any product or anything at all. And let me just say, I've been thinking for the last week. I had a lot of kind of negative stuff to say, and it's unclear why, as a human being, when you are frustrated or disappointed or whatever, it is very essential to the human being for some reason to let people know that that is the case. And it's unclear exactly what you expect to gain from letting people know that. I think, and I guess a lot of psychologists or whatever think that one of the chief things that you expect to gain is that you want to hear that the problem is not that what you have done has been wrong. The problem is that something is wrong with the world that you have been trying to do it in. And as such, still, I don't know what you're trying to gain, because even when you hear that answer is neither going to change the world nor make it any easier for you to deal with that world. So I don't know what I'm going to do tonight or going to gain from what I'm going to do tonight. But I will just say that, let me put it in terms that you can understand. How many people at some point in your career have tried to switch careers, basically? How many people, let's see a show of hands. It's got to be more than that. At some point in your career.
Lost.
Yeah, come on, everybody's done it at least once. There's got to be some point in your career where you were, say, a computer programmer for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Good at it. But you just realized that wasn't what you were. Maybe, you started doing that because in college somebody told you that that's the lucrative field, that's what you got to do, that's where the success is. You never really wanted to do it, but you did it. And you mastered it, and at one point you were able to expand yourself in your career. But
there a point coming soon.
By the time you were 45, 50, 55, maybe you realize, I always wanted to be a roofer. I wanted to be a roofer. I never got the chance to be a roofer. I always, and you go in, you want to apply to be a roofer, what can you do? Your resume is a little computer programmer. Maybe you can show the guy repairs that you did on your own roof. Maybe you can demonstrate that you have the physical strength. You should say, well, there should be no problem with the IQ. I think the IQ needed to be a computer programmer is sufficient for being a roofer. But really, you're at a vast disadvantage. And those of you that have been in that situation, have you felt that the amount of effort it was necessary to convince somebody that you were suited for this new career was commensurate with what it should take, or have you felt yourself grossly at a gross disadvantage and maybe unfairly inconvenient, unfairly at a disadvantage compared to somebody maybe coming right out of school, or somebody who came up in a great roofing family or something like that? Which way have you felt? The former or the latter? Anybody that's gone through a career change, I think you'd agree that you feel the latter. Well, anyway, that is the situation that my products are in. When my products go to an NAR section and apply for a job as a student construction product, they get told that they're a booster. When my products go into a store and apply for a job as a sport model, they get told that they're a booster. And what I'm worried about at this point, I've solved a lot of problems in bringing this company along for the last 12 years. A lot of the problems that I thought I couldn't solve, such as getting somebody to manufacture them, getting somebody to distribute them, and I'm at a point now where the problem that I thought I always could solve is the problem that I can't solve. I can't get across that last step. I can't get across that last threshold. I now have the situation where I have a store full of kits and I can't get the consumer to choose them. As a replacement for a sport model, which is what they're there to be, and what they're there in such a quantity that that's all they can be there for. And the same situation with the inner air sections. I mean, that's the only two ways that a low-cost product, such as mine, can succeed is if it's bought in massive quantities. You can't succeed just the enthusiast market alone. So, but I guess my only point is that I'm at the point now where I'm not sure I have the skills necessary to do this. And I mean, I know what to do to conquer an engineering problem, and somehow I apparently knew what to do to conquer the problem of getting resellers and distributors and everything like that, things that the problem I didn't. But this one, I don't know how to solve. And I don't think that there's anything that anybody in this room can do to help me solve it, except if you know somebody that knows something about how to change the public's mind. About something, somebody that knows how to change the image of a product, somebody that knows something about how to make something that hadn't existed before come into the public consciousness and be accepted. I need somebody like that because I have reached the limit. I am an engineer. That's about all I am. Maybe I can do a couple other things. Maybe I can do the graphic design for the kids. Maybe I can come up with the type of product that I think needs to be out there. But I can't convince anybody that they need that product. And I'm asking you, if you know anybody that knows anybody that can assist me with this problem, somebody do it. But, I mean, the fact is that the line can't continue in the state that it's in. It's just still, even though Bill's gone to these, or especially since Bill's gone to these Herculean lengths to make it economic to produce the things in quantity, in the quantities that they have to be produced in to make any sense to produce. I mean, I owe it to him. I owe it to all these people that have invested in me, taken my kids into their distributorships and their stores. I owe it to all these people to make these kids move on the other end of the line. And if I can't do that, I have to find somebody that's going to allow me to do that. But at the core of it, it's just I cannot believe that this product can't do what I say it can do. Because I just can't imagine that the idea that you hit a button, you send something rocketing up in the air, and then you watch it swoop and soar and hang around in the sky. I can't imagine that that is something that only appeals to a person that's trying to win an NAR contest. I have to believe that that is universal. I have to believe that anybody in the world, given a chance to do that, would enjoy doing that. I wouldn't have started it in the first place if I didn't believe that, and I just don't know how to not believe that. But I need help at this point. I can't accomplish that myself. So if anybody knows anybody or anything, somebody help me out. But in the meantime, the kids aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're going to be there, and Bill's got them to the point where we can even keep the prices the same. So those of you in this audience who have been loyal and have been patronizing the daylights out of them, keep doing so, and you're going to be free to do so for, I mean, they're never going to lose money because structurally they can't, so they're going to keep around. But we really need to make this thing worth everybody's time that's invested in it to do it. Well, let's have some questions.
Thanks.
Okay, no problem. All
right, great. I got one announcement. Well, Bunny's coming up. Tomorrow is egg lofting and spot landing. We will allow egg loft flights prior to spot landing flights tomorrow. Okay? We have a good tracking team on first shift. Therefore, we want to use them. You are not allowed to use your egg lofter as your spot lander, so that means you won't be able to practice. You are also not allowed to sport flight prior to your spot landing flight. All right, any questions about that? Great, see me tomorrow if you do.
It's scary.
It's scary.
Fell out of your pocket.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I probably isn't with this.
Yeah, the medic is scary.
So, I was going to auction it off.
All right, we need a couple of minutes for the auction people to get set up, okay? When I spoke to you last night at the association meeting, I said I was going to keep talking about safety, so guess what? I've got two safety stories for you. The first one is a personal safety story. I went out to fly Sea Rocket Glider this morning. Chad Ring was the RSO on the range, and I thought he was going to take his head off, okay? Some of you may have thought that was a blessing. I scared the dickens out of me. My RG did this tremendous horizontal barrel roll, and I thought it was going to come pranging back into the prep, into the range head. When I got the model back and I looked at it, I realized that my rubber band is a slide wing rocket glider, had pulled a positive angle of attack on the wing while it was going through the boost phase. So the wing's jacked up like this. It's going to act like an airplane. I went back to my prep area, and I put shims in there to make sure that didn't happen the second flight. And I went up, back to the range. I told Chad what modification I made. I told the safety check-in officer that what I'd done about that. And the model worked. Okay, the lesson there is you're supposed to examine what went wrong and fix whatever the problem is. Okay. Second thing that happened to me today was that I went to check my email. I have a message from our insurance agent. Somebody at the NiPower launch landed a rocket on the roof of a van. The van belongs to the owner of the field. Bad place to land, generally. Even worse when it's the owner of the field. We cannot land rockets where there are people or property. Stop it. For God's sake, when it happens on your range, stop. Figure out why the rocket landed there and make sure the rockets land somewhere else. When I get back to Chicago, I'm going to call Bob Bloomster and I'm going to say, Bob, I need to find out whether that was the first or later rocket that landed in a parking lot. If it was the later rocket, somebody needs to go to that club, and it's likely to be me to say, don't do that. Right? If you have rockets that are landing where people or property are parked, for God's sake, do something to your range. Angle them off to the side. Move the cars, okay? I'm tired of getting bills for people crashing rockets, undershoots in some cases, landing on cars. God forbid that it's a human being. Because doctors are a lot more expensive than sheep metal. Please, please, please think about what you're doing with your range operations. You will cause this hobby irreputable damage if we injure somebody. Don't land rockets where there are people or property. It's not complicated.
Are you talking about landing or crashing?
Landing.
Meaning undershoot?
Yes, in some cases undershoot. They're damaging the vehicles. You're not supposed to land where people and property are, even if they're undershooting.
In a lot of sites, you can't fly a rocket in it.
Find a way to change what you're doing. If you do that, if you continue to do that, and you say it's going to be okay, somebody may get hurt. That will be bad. Please, stop it. Go for that. Now, let me prime the option. Bruce, are you still here? Would you stand up? We have a generous donation of new auction product here from Bruce McLeod up in the Minneapolis area. How many of you recognize these? Oh, Bob, why don't you tell people what these are?
Without the white impact.
That's a worthless coaster, super jet, black powder.
45 pounds.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
all of you flying. Sorry.
That's one.
It's got the whole paper wrap.
And that's two.
That's the 35 pounds.
That's three.
Holy crap. Not so much as the paper wrap.
That's four. Why, look, Jennifer, what do you suppose these are? Why, those are rocket chute motors. Have you ever seen those?
What a
shame. Anyway, there's a whole box of really cool rocket motors here. I will have a discussion. I think maybe we want to save some of these for the NAR's 50th birthday party, Ms. Ashpool. All kinds of people who show up there might be interested in expanding or, porting them further. So you may not auction off all of these tonight, people.
Maybe I need to tell Sharon she needs to put a file on her
head. Run, bunny, run.
This is the way it is. Some of you guys have been bringing stuff in. You brought me on little pieces of paper. That's great. If you did, go ahead and bring them up. If you have anything new, please come see my lovely assistant, Joanne Rocker. Because Joanne and I sort of taking this over doing all the spreadsheets, it's gone a lot faster at the end of the night. You can sit there and say, okay, you bought two things, Chris, and you owe us this much. Hand it over. Remember, we take Visa, American Express, MasterCard, Discover, checks, and cash. I do not accept children. I'm sorry. I have a cat. That's enough. No, I don't take spouses either.
Body parts and channels.
Just Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, cash, and check. The credit cards will go through NARTs, so if you suddenly see this charge for NARTs later in the month, it's because Tom Haas doing it and we do all the money shopping that goes through it. How many here know who Robert Cannon is or was? Oh, good. How many of you don't? All right, Robert Cannon was an educator that worked at Estes Company, and he did the educational newsletter, and he did all the education and worked with the teachers for Vern.
Trained 8 or 10,000 teachers in the art of using model rocketry in the classroom and created an entire generation of American educators who use rocketry to get their kids interested in technology and engineering.
So we started this auction, and in 2001, we started giving away money. You saw the little blurb that I'd given Randy. We've given 26 teachers $500 to go into their classrooms to use it for rockets, to use it for continuing education, whatever they want to do. Some of them, you've seen some of the articles that support rocketry. So this goes for a good cause. We can always give out more. We like it when we get lots of teachers. Don't remember the number off the top of my head how many we have this year. I know Joyce is the number. Jack, because you're leaning up against the wall and make you behave. Jack is going to get to pick what I'm auctioning first and next. And you got to let Joanne know. Joanne doesn't know everybody, so I'm going to ask you your name. Make sure you say it loud enough and you put it in order. Phil? That's your balsa tree? Okay. Thank you. I mean, there's stuff over here. You know, it's kind of become a tradition. Phil gives a bag of balsa. It's the typical Bill Sandin bag of balsa. I have arranged boxes from Tom, right, Tom Pastor? Yes. All right, so you have these two things. Have you settled the coin first, Jack? Before I, like, you know.
The coffee chair.
Small.
Small. That was a scary one I can remember without Joanne telling me who donated this. This would be from Bob Kaplan.
Jennifer, that's not correct.
That's not you?
It's from one of our club members back in Chicago, Norm Dietzig.
Yes, but you handed it to me.
I handed it to you, but it is from Norm.
It was transported by Bob.
Yes, I transported it.
Therefore,
read the table of contents.
Yes, Bob still hasn't forgotten his wife and I for playing the trick on him on the first day. There are two articles, All Aboard for Outer Space by G. Harry Stein. Here's When We'll Do It, Willie Lay. Life Aboard a Spaceship by Willie Lay. Coast to Coast in 40 Minutes, G. Harry Stein. Gosh, when are we going to get that? So we have in Mechanics Illustrated, the How To Magazine.
January 56.
This is Ed Mayo from Overland, Missouri. No zip code, so you know they didn't have zip codes back
14.
Then. So, guys, all right, here's our first item.
$20.
$20 from Jim Becker.
$25.
$30. My guy's 30. You know, you can't let Bob start the night out in debt.
$35.
Bob, do I didn't think you have 40?
$40
from Jack. $40 from Jack.
$50.
Jim kind of went
55.
Jim went 55. All right, 55. You're 60. 60. 55. 55 going once. 55 going twice.
60.
Bob, I'm going to have to respond. 60 for Bob. 60 going once. I have a lot of stuff up here. 60 going twice. Sold $60 to Bob and transported it here, so you know. Alright. This is the professional airbrush kit I talked to you about by Jim Filler. Donated by Jim Filler. He can't remember which name he got it. Bob But we have the airbrush kit. You just need to buy the compressor. I've had a long day. I've already had one drink. It's horrible. All right, we have the airbrush kit. Can I have any bits?
20.
20 from Steve. Yes, I didn't know most of you. Come on, guys. You know, I realize your scale model's finished over there, but you never know when you might want to do nice detail work.
Describe the airbrush kit a little bit. Who's it from?
Cummings Pro Industrial Tools.
Okay.
Got two little glass containers here. Everybody knows. 20 from Steve. 20 going once. 20 going twice. So, Steve Hubliner. Next. Jack's like, ah! All right, this is a donation from NARTS. We plugged in. No, it's not a belt buckle. It is a bunch of patches. A bunch of NARM patches. I see a NARM 31 patch. I see a NARM 22 patch. 22, 20, 17, 16. And I'm not going to name them all because then you'd be surprised. A bunch of NARM patches.
$20.
$20. Here's 20 from Jim Filler. 25. Here's 25 from a very young voice. No, you don't get to look through. I know, he just wants to say he wants to look through. I had 25 from a young man.
$20.
$20 from Jim. I'm making sure.
25.
25 from Dale.
Patches.
30
up
on NARM 50.
NARM 20, NARM 17,
NARM 30, 14.
Nope.
There's an NARM 30. Steve, your bid was 30. See, he's confusing me. That's why I didn't want to do this at all. 30 from Steve. These patches. 30. 30 going once. 30 going twice. Sold to Steve for 30. That's Steve's boss. For somebody doing it. She's like, she knows who Steve is. Yes, you're getting handed them. Yes, I can find you. Just ask Jim Filler. I'm known as Bulldog on the Range. Therefore, if we don't pay, I can hold on to it. All right. Somebody was cleaning out their boxes. Tom Segrest is nodding up here because it's from the Tom Segrest collection.
Does Ward have one of those?
Ward doesn't collect these.
No, I thought he did.
No, I would have this. But I don't want it. All right. It's the TIE Fighter. I've actually seen this in flight. It works pretty well. It's the SC's TIE Fighter, Darth Vader. Boom, boom, boom. Is that it?
$5
from Rick.
20.
Obviously, Dad gave him a budget of 20. $20 from the junior. No, Dad, the next week, like, yes, he's going to bid. No, we can't tell him. 20 from that young man. Do we have any other bids? 20.
35.
It's the flashing. I don't like the fact that George keeps taking pictures of him. 25 from the other junior member. 25. 25 going once. 25 going twice. Sold to that young man who's going to have to come tell me his name. Or you can just do it under Dad's name because, you know, we'll do it under his credit.
Yeah, when it's all over.
Yeah. That's fine. Come stand on me. Let's stand here and look at this thing.
We're doing these ones.
Alright, guys, NARHAM says night launches. These are great. You put them around the outside of your perimeter. We have the Firefly 6 inch light stick in orange and in blue. There's 26 here.
Did they come from us or do we need more?
I don't know.
They're 5 minutes. They're really bright.
They're really bright. You can break them, you shake them up, you drop them in your payload, and launch them into your night launch vehicle. Yep, we're doing the orange and blue together. Come on, guys.
$10.
5 and 10. Rick's got to always start it with that. So $10 from Chris Taylor. coming up. Come on.
How many is in each?
10 is in each. So you have 20 total. Yes, we know how to add up here.
Yeah, that's $100 in the store.
$100 in the store, says Mr. Filler. So $10 from Chris Taylor.
15,
Dale. Well, I want to know when Spar's holding their night launch, okay?
Labor Day.
Okay. Well, we're hearing Ramtech.
Labor Day weekend, yeah, with
Ramtech. With Ramtech. 15 from Dale, 15. 15 going once.
20.
20 from?
Roy.
Roy Green. My gosh, he's dueling greens. 20, right?
20.
20 from Roy. 20 going once. 20 going twice. Sold to Roy Green for $20. And Vern looks anxious. I know he's trying to look like he's going to have something for me. You have something for me, Vern?
I sure do.
It's always exciting when Vern shows up and he's got stuff in his lap. I never know if he's going to get angry with that.
Careful handling those, Jennifer.
Yes. Yeah. Dynamite? Well, we're heading to I decided I'd look around and see what I have that might help the auction. So we have a few items here.
These microphones.
Louder.
Okay, so.
Longer?
No. Okay, it's not working.
It doesn't sound good when it's on anyway.
Is it on?
It may not be connected.
There you go.
It is there.
Anyway, back in the earlier days of bottle rocketry, Glenda and I and our oldest daughter, Betty, went to Czechoslovakia for the first international meet. So I have included a note with this package that says, Vern, Glenda, and oldest daughter, Betty, were contestants in the first international rocket competition held in Dubnica, Czechoslovakia in June 1966. Included with this auction item, held at RM49 are the following. There are six checked motors of the type used in the event, better known to us Americans as Widowmakers. And there's a photocopy of the May 20, June 3rd, and June 27th, 1966 issues of the Estes launch pad, an internal publication for Estes employees. The three launch pad issues contain photos and brief stories about the event. And Glenn and I have signed that, and so what we're having is selling is these three issues of Estes launch pad. Most people have never seen these because they were not widely distributed. They're strictly for employees. And then I have a package of the six of the Czech motors. And as I say, they were known as the Widowmakers, so you can use your own discretion as to how you might use these or launch them or whatever. They still have their in their plastic box, except that the lid is broken on this one. So,
okay. What's the designation of those motors?
With this one, yeah.
He asked for the designation.
Is there any marking on them?
Is there any marking? There's an instruction sheet with it in English.
Nope, there's not. Just this RN. So this whole pack together, then?
Yeah, all of those together.
Okay, and then he's going to go drooling over the engines over in the box at the moment. All right, guys. Well, he goes down memory lane in the box of engines. You said these were Czech engines and programs?
Those are the launch pads.
Launch pads.
$50.
$50 from Jim Phillips.
$100.
$100 from Chaz.
$125.
$25 from Tom Lyon. Yep. I'm sorry, I heard $150 from Bruce. Bruce said it so softly. I wasn't sure he really wanted to bid it. $150. Come on, guys. Check motors. It'll be fun. Part of history, $150 going once?
$160
from Dale. Okay, it's just going to be these East Coast guys, I can tell. All right. $175. And he's cringing. Remember, we need to have people MasterCard American Express and Discover, okay? $175 for Bruce. $175 going once. $175 going twice. So, to Bruce Camino.
Don't drop them.
Thank you, Vern.
All right, the next item that I brought is a couple of very early Estes motors. These have the Denver address printed on them, and they were made back before we moved to Penrose. And I've got a little note that goes with it, signed by myself. These Estes rocket motors are from the earliest motors made by Estes Industries on Maple. They were made in Denver, as indicated by the Denver address printed on the cases. So these are probably fairly hard to come by these days. We didn't sell near as many back then, but you might want to put these in your collection.
Okay. All right, so Bob, what's your opening bid?
Right there, we got some.
$50 from Chess. Burn about what year?
What year?
Oh, I don't know the exact year, probably 59, 60, somewhere along in there.
It's 50 for Chess.
$100.
$100. I'm sorry, I'm hiding the product. I didn't mean to. $100. I know we've launched vengeance, guys, but come on. $100.
Are they still certified?
What's a B84? Wow, that'd be nice to have.
B.8.
There's no point in the market, okay? So 100. 100 going once. 100 going twice.
125.
Ed. You're going to be the death of me. Ed. Ed, 125. I'm sorry? 150 going once? 150 going twice?
160.
I know this will mean less beer. Ed has to drink during the week. 170. $180? Okay. He says $180.
$190.
I'm sorry, 190 to 200. He's obviously doing even numbers over here. $200. This is $100 an engine, guys. It's cheap. $100. I mean, 200. 200. 200 what? 220. 220. 220 going once? 220 going twice? Okay, sold, 220.
The next item that I brought are three motors that Estes Industries made for Centauri. And these were made back in the 76, I believe it was, the date on them there. Three motors, C67, a B147, and a B66.
Sorry, I'm still trying to figure out what's in this other box. C67.
So they're labeled Centauri, Vern?
Yes, they're labeled Centauri.
Centauri model rocket?
There's no paper pedigree that you've signed to go with it?
Well, not yet.
What's that? See Lee when you get home.
Yeah.
All right, guys, three engines. I'm looking at the guys that didn't get in.
25.
You said 25. Okay. $25. Come on, guys, the last engine's worth $100 an engine. Come on.
Thanks.
25 guys, $25. I know, there's just so many other engines you have no idea what's coming out.
So there's a B-14 in there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. So B-14, a C-27, and a B-66, yep.
B-14-7.
35.
What was
it? 35 to grow.
B-66,
B-67,
B-14-7.
B-14-7 and a C-67.
C67
very well. For I have my hearing system. I can't hear. 35 to Roy. 35 going once. 35 going twice. Okay, sold to Roy.
Yeah.
Next item is three of the postcards that we used to send out. These are from way back in about the 60s and 70s. And you may have received one or something, but these are beginning to get a little yellow from age. But they still carry the excitement of Model Rock. So,
is there any writing on them, Fern, or are they blank?
They're blank. They can't be written on, but they're blank.
I wonder what the postage rate was back then.
I'm sorry. We're over here trying to figure out what we're going to do next. Hi, if you aren't an Estes Rocketeer, then you're missing out on a great new hobby.
Ooh.
$10. $15. That's $5 a postcard. Come on, you can't even get current postcards that cheap.
20.
I heard a 20 here.
20.
I heard 20, actually.
25.
All right, 25 to Jim. It's going to make you guys do numbers next time.
25.
30. $30. $30 going once. $30 going twice. Sold to Matt Johnson.
Well, I've saved the best to the last. Maybe, I don't know, whatever you think of. This is... Now, this is a photocopy. I'm sorry to say, but it is stitched like the original. And here's a picture of Cletus stitching it. However, the picture is much later. And here's... the note that we have signed on this. It says, this auction item is a photocopy of catalog 261, the first multi-page Estes catalog. Included with the catalog is a recent photo of Lita stitching this catalog on her home sewing machine as an illustration of the unique way she had stitched these early catalogs. This catalog and photo are being offered as a package at the NARAM 49 auction July 31, 2007, and Vern and Rita of Science.
Hey. All right, guys. Picture.
$50.
$100.
$100. $100. $100. $100. $100. $110. $100 going once.
$110.
Do I hear $120? $110. $110 going once.
$120.
$120.
$130.
$130. Okay, talk amongst yourselves. So between these two, part $130.
$150.
$150. $150 going once. $150 going twice. Sold. Yeah, you finally got it. George Washington. What's
thank
next?
You very much. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you. Okay, we were having a debate here, and so we decided, because I see a lot of juniors in here, and I usually don't get to see a lot of juniors in the thing. This gets to be junior only, and I just had Tom Beach cry. I'm sorry, Tom. Bribe one of the juniors behind you.
Did you steal that from the library?
I am not responsible for where these show up from. I just watch them off. So, Rocket Power in Space Flight by G. Harris Stein says discarded, so we're okay. It means the library didn't want it anymore.
The library's idiots.
Aww.
That means somebody's got to stay up to our library.
Copyright 1987.
What's the definition of a junior?
Definition of junior is somebody under 18. That's physically under 18, not mentally. That is physically under 18, not mentally. So Amy.
Hold up the picture on the back.
That's what I was doing. So all right, you junior members, I know. It's summer. I'm asking you to buy a book.
Hey, I like books.
Well, they're good.
Okay. $5 each.
$5. Who said 10? 10 said James. 15. Now, I'm going to give it to a junior. If you guys buy it off of them later, I just don't want to know. 15. Who said 20? 20. $20 for James in the back. 25. Oh, see, he's conferring with his brothers going, no, $25. Bill will be here later. Bill Stein should be here later in the week. $25. Juniors, come and look at your parents, see how much money you think they have in their wallets. How much credit do you think they have in their credit card? $25. $30. Oh, see, James had to confer. I know exactly. $30. Yeah, somebody, Rick says a lot of, I don't know, allowance is big these days. $30 going once, $30 going twice. Sold to James Jones for $30. Keep going back to the box of digits. Keeps handing me stuff. So we did just do our 30th anniversary. Celebration 4 was in L.A. How do I know this? Because my husband dresses up as a stormtrooper. Right? TK1762. He's also an officer in a biker scout. All right, just do it. I do rockets. He does Star Wars. All right, we have a Naboo Royal Starship from
Episode 1.
Fourth movie, yeah, I know. So the kids know better than I do.
$10.
$10 from Chris Taylor.
$15.
All right, guys, $15. You gotta yell at me, Tyler. $20 from Tyler. He's like he's in school. $20. $20. $25. I'm looking over the $25. I didn't mean to make this a junior thing, but it's going to be a junior. $25 going once. $25 going twice. So that young man for $25. Alright. Come see her. I think I may have determined what we're going to keep and what we're going to sell here.
On whom, no.
All right, guys, help me decide. Should we do these one or two at a time?
Charger.
One.
One.
One. One.
Yes, it was one. I think you would. Poster super jets.
Jennifer, you don't want to put two of those together to hit critical mass.
Maybe I do. $10 from Rick. $20 from Tom.
$50.
I heard a 30, then I heard a 50.
$60.
$60. $60. Okay, so that's 35 pounds, so that's a little bit less than 50 cents a pound. 60, I'm sorry, it was 60. 60? I know, I can't do math, this, okay? It's just horrible. That's why we get the spreadsheet. 60, 60 going once. 60 going twice. Sold to Tara. Charlie must come up and talk to you. All right.
No igniter.
No igniter. Wow, Pete, I've always wanted this spiral one because it's so nice. We need to go make a copy. Where's Pete? Did he disappear?
He's out in the hallway.
He's out in the hallway. This looks like it's very well used. Pete, a modeler's guide. We've got to figure out which version it is. 1993, but you know, Pete will sign just about anything that he's published. So the spiral one, which is kind of the cool one, I do have one on shrink wrap, but we're going to do the spiral one first. Pete! He must have heard me say his name.
Yes, I heard my name. Is that the spiral model one?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's one that I used to take notes for plans for revision at some point. So it's all mangled and messed up. Hopefully there's notes in it that indicate what I never did for the next day.
Wow. Pete Holway notes. It's been mangled by Pete Holway, the author himself.
It's historic.
It's historic. You know how much? $10.
$20.
I'm Jen Filler, and this is getting heavy, so I'm going to have to do this one. Actually, we're going to tell him why I go. Tell him here. So I can keep track. This is getting heavy. 20 from Jen.
Someone said 30 behind me. 30. 30. 30.
30.
30.
30. 30. 30. $30.
$28
new. $20. $30.
But that was in 1983 dollars.
$30 going once. $30 going twice.
$35.
You can just hit him upside the head. It's okay. I won't tell anybody. $35 going once. $35 going twice.
$40.
I have $40 over here.
$40.
$40. Do I hear $45? $40. $40. $40 going once. $40 going twice. Sold. 20 pack. Where's Chris Kidwell? Do you think this would work for the NAR Trad Cadet first thing? But you know, we'd have to find something else to do.
Good, yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. He gets the prototype back, but you're gonna get a bulk pack of 20 of these. Right?
Yeah.
That's what the little post-it. That's what the little post-it note tells me.
$10.
$10 retail value is $135. $10 for Rick.
20.
15, 20 from Jim.
13 all the way around.
30.
See, I can tell all the sections you do education stuff, and I'm thinking $3. Tyler? 40. You need to yell, man. Stand up and yell. $40 from Young Schaefer.
45.
Oh, it's going to be a Pennsylvania bet here. Okay. 45 from Dale. 50. 55. 55. 55 from Dale. 50. 60.
Sweeten the deal. If the bidding goes over 100, I'll make it 30.
Ooh. All right. There you go. There's your chance. Right now you get 20 kids. If you bid over $100, he'll add another 10.
So we're at 60 for 20 kids. Tyler Schaefer. Tyler, that's an awful lot of kids for you.